Are You Playing?
Hello, and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we normally play a game and tell you why the bleep we're playing it. But today, as we are still in between Season 3 and upcoming Season 4, well, we're going to do something a little different today. We're going to have a little fun.
If this goes wrong, blame Sean.
Yeah, this is entirely Sean motivated.
This is all Sean's idea, and the fact that he had to explain it to us in person, I think, gives you an idea of what we're in for.
So, what we're going to be doing is, we're going to be playing a game. This is a bleeping game show, guys. And I'm going to ask a question that is going to begin with which character or what character. After I finish the question, these guys are going to lock in an answer of what video game character they think most fits that question. Mm-hmm. They will then have to defend their answers. I will then give a point for who I think fits the answer best. So you have to sway me.
We have to be very confident in our answers. Just really quick before we start, when do we have to say them, like, as they come into our head?
The idea is the first thing that comes to your head.
Gotcha.
But also, you know, we're a podcast. We're not a visual medium. We're an audio medium. So, you know.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah, on everything. So.
You don't got a button.
Just smack the table.
Beep. Beep. Throw the mic over your shoulder.
I got an idea.
So, we'll begin with our first question. Which character's favorite restaurant is Applebee's?
What's his name?
All right, Thomas.
What's his name?
Banjo and Kazooie.
All right, Mason, you got one?
Oh, no, I do, but I can't think of his name.
What game from?
The Uncharted, the guy with the mustache.
Sully?
Sully.
Okay. Thank you.
Sully.
Thomas was first, so Thomas, why is Banjo and Kazooie's favorite restaurant Applebee's?
Because they are hicks. They are hick as shit. So you know they go to the most hick as shit family chain restaurant.
They're in a small town, but that's the...
That's their nice dining. Like, they're like, yeah, we want to do something nice. It's our anniversary. Let's go to fucking Applebee's, baby. Like goddamn Ricky Bobby and this son of a bitch.
Oh god, now all I can see is Kazooie doing the white snake dance on the table.
All right, no. Tough follow up there. Mason, why is Sully the correct answer?
My first thought actually was going to be Nathan Drake, but then I was like, well, he's not old enough. And then I was trying to think of Sully because the image that I have of Sully in my head is the image of like the average Applebee's customer, I think.
Old people and hicks are the only two.
That is their demographic.
And
yes.
And desperate people on their lunch break. I'm speaking as someone who went to Applebee's on a desperate lunch break.
So neither of these two are going to Club Applebee's in Florida at all.
I was going to say.
I think that I'm going to give it to Thomas here. Banjo and Kazooie being Applebee's simply because they don't know any better is perfect.
God forbid you introduce them to, like, fine dining Chili's. Their minds will explode.
They can't afford Olive Garden, Thomas. They got to go with Applebee's.
Those unlimited boneless wings really come in handy. God forbid you'd ask Ponderosa Steakhouse or something.
All right.
Well, they don't even know what an Outback is.
Our first round, Thomas now has a 1-0 lead. Our second question. Which character owns and plays a CDI?
Owns and play. Which character owns and plays a CDI? Owns and plays. Okay. I think I got it.
Okay, what do you got, Mason?
I've got Oracle from the Arkham games.
Oracle from the Arkham games. Okay. Yes. Thomas, you definitely look like you got a thought going here.
Zelda.
Oh, we're going to let Mason lead off this one, but I am excited to hear why that one.
Okay, so I went with Oracle from the Arkham games because I feel like she's the kind – because this might be a little bit of profiling, but I think she's into very nerdy things, and I think she also likes – but ironically likes bad nerdy things. I feel like that when she and her, like a lot of her interactions with Dick Grayson that are like off the Batman clock per se are just her trying to get him into like the stupid nerdy shit that she's into. So I could totally see her trying to get Dick Grayson to play a CDI game.
Yeah, Robin, I play video games. Yeah, come on down to my video game room. Why is it Virtual Boys and CDIs?
Come play Hotel Mario.
You know, Dick Grayson walks down and he immediately sees the room, does an immediate 180. Like, hold on, hear me out.
All right, Thomas.
It's a piece of gaming history that we must preserve.
Why is Zelda, who famously has an awful.
Not just one. Two.
CDI games.
You ever hear about Lunatics Unleashed?
Yes.
Where they keep that art on the wall of the Looney Tunes studio, like the Bloodstained Invincible, just as a permanent reminder of what not to do. That's Zelda plays the CDI games, as a permanent reminder of what not to do. And she occasionally invites Link over too, like, no, you need to witness this as well. God wept this day.
To motivate her before her new final starring outlet, she's like,
all right. Before the new starring outlet she has, she's like, all right, I need to do this as a permanent reminder of what not to do.
I need to get this right.
Like purposefully clockwork oranging herself.
I like it. I think I'm going to go with Thomas on this one. I liked the idea of the Oracle, but the idea of Zelda having just like this motivational poster on her wall that is a CDI that's just like, I need motivation today. Ah!
Just not going to do that.
I actually like Mason's better, but okay.
That's fair. Thomas convinced me on it, so that's why I am the judge. I make determinations.
I should have brought you like a wreath out of leaves. Give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
What is it, Pedro Pascal in the new movie? Who does that in the new Gladiator?
Yeah.
He's in the new Gladiator.
Oh, you're Joaquin Phoenix in the old one.
All right. Thomas has a 2-0 lead. Question Rats. 3. Which character would find themselves accidentally in a cult?
Accidentally in a cult.
Just wake up one morning and be like, whoa, how did I get here? All right, Thomas.
I got mine. You got yours. You go first.
Okay. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic the Hedgehog. All right, Mason.
I'm going kind of in the complete opposite direction. I went with Luigi.
All right. Thomas, why is your favorite character of all time accidentally ending up in a cult?
You know that one TikTok about the black guy who said you're not racist until you go to your second clan meeting?
Yeah, I've seen that, yes.
I kind of view Sonic as doing that, but like, you know, they invite him out to a barbecue. Like, he's like, oh, all right, this is cool. Oh, they've got chili dogs here. I'm eating this up. Oh, they got ribs. I'm not a big ribs person, but I'll try them. Oh, these are good ribs. And then they're burning the cross, and he's like, well, I'm here. I can't do anything about this.
Well, now I have sworn my life to Glorthog the High.
I was here for the food, and now it's getting a little culty.
Weird. Now I'm donating blood to them.
And then he goes home, and it turns out it's like, you know, they think Tails is the reason they started the cult because of his two tails, and they think it's a freak accident. And Tails, like, the actual black guy from the comedy routine, it's like, Sonic, are those clan ribs? Yeah, can I have some?
Those clan ribs.
All right. Luigi, famously scared of scary things. How does he end up in a cult?
The man accidentally bought a haunted mansion. I can absolutely see him accidentally buying into a cult. Like this, it'd be the type of religious cult that is like, we're the ones that are gonna get into heaven, and he would totally buy into it, and without realizing that it's a cult, and then he ends up in the cult.
Yeah, and then he goes to Mario, and he's like, Mario, I think I finally figured out how to get into heaven, and Mario opens the pamphlet like, Luigi, this is a cult. A what?
They were promising me a superstar.
They promised me riches beyond our wildest dreams. Well, Luigi, they gave you a fake lottery ticket.
We were playing a board game. You know, you and I play Mario Party all the time. And then, $10.
And we all know that the cult leader is Waluigi. We all know he's the one that's getting it.
It's just Waluigi has duped him into it.
Yes.
Yeah, Waluigi in the cult of Waluigi.
I buy Luigi. I'm gonna give Mason the point there. I like the idea of Luigi accidentally just buying into it. Like, he found a pamphlet and he's like, oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, Mason's was better.
I like it. I like it. All right. So Thomas leads 2-1. Our fourth question. Which character would say that Romeo and Juliet is their favorite novel?
Say that Romeo and Juliet is their favorite novel.
Now notice the keyword in there, say. Doesn't mean they 100% believe it.
Doesn't mean that they believe
it. It could be their favorite novel, but it doesn't have to be. It's just the one they say is their favorite. Thomas. All
right, I got mine.
Miles Edgeworth.
Oh, okay.
Miles Edgeworth. That is a good answer, actually. I went with Johnny Cage.
Okay.
I went with Johnny Cage.
All right, Mason. Johnny Cage. Why is Johnny Cage telling everyone that Romeo and Juliet is his favorite novel?
I think Johnny Cage would say this because it would be a line that he uses on a girl in a bar.
That's exactly where I knew it was going.
It would be a line that he uses on a, like, someone that, like, he thinks is like a college graduate trying to like bring himself up. It's like, you have
an English lit major.
yeah, you have an English lit major. Well, my favorite novel is Romeo, and then the date would like ask him like deeper questions about it, like, oh, did you notice the symbolism in this? And he'd be like, yeah.
I like when Romeo and Juliet did it.
when Romeo was like,
he's only watched the movie, and that's the only
one. Yeah, he's only watched that shit ass Leonardo DiCaprio Romeo and Juliet.
Okay, all right. Miles Edgeworth. Why is Miles Edgeworth saying this?
Doesn't he give you the vibe of someone who wants to be more sophisticated than he actually is? Like, the dude likes a fucking tokusatsu show for children. And he kind of keeps it hidden. So doesn't he kind of give you the vibe of someone who wants to be, like, more sophisticated than he actually is? So in reality, his favorite book is the Silver Samurai graphic novel. But when in public, it's like, Miles Edgeworth, like, being interviewed. It's like, Miles Edgeworth, what's your favorite novel? And the only reason he didn't say Macbeth is because he wasn't forced to read that one in high school.
And in the background, you hear Phoenix Wright going, "Oh, come on!"
Yeah, just bullshit.
Objection.
No.
Oh, this one's tough because I like both these. Legitimately, I wasn't sure on either of them going in. Both your very convincing arguments here. Actually, I think I'm leaning Johnny Cage. Because I like the idea of a character using Romeo and Juliet as like as his pickup line. And
not knowing at all.
Not knowing at all, but I like the idea that the more he does it, the more he starts to believe it.
Yeah, and then eventually he goes to actually Sonya, and she's like, "What's one thing that happens in that book?" And he's like, "Oh, Romeo and Juliet, they get together. You know, they die at the end. They what?
Oh no, this is how I ended up in that cult that one time."
You know, the funny thing is, the answer that I almost gave was Ken, but I was going to use the same argument.
Johnny Cage is much better.
Yeah, Johnny Cage is better.
Much better.
Ken's a married man.
Oh, he is.
Ken's a married man, and, well, you know,
yeah,
he has this very special friend as well.
Just like Miles Edgeworth.
I'd say that Johnny Cage is married, too.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's married to Sonya.
Oh, wait. Oh.
That's the only thing that happened in later games.
Yeah, so early on, okay. We're saying Johnny Cage in his
player years. I was going to say, I'm thinking Johnny Cage, like, early 20s.
Like, yeah, like the
broke as shit, but still trying to be popular in Hollywood.
Yeah, Johnny like the Johnny Cage that showed up in my mind was the one from MK1.
Yeah.
Like, that face and everything.
Which one? God damn it.
All right, so we are tied going into
round five.
This is a Mason special.
Oh boy!
Which character eats at Burger King?
Damn it.
Thomas.
Eight separate.
Solid Snake.
Oh!
Okay. Shoot. What?
Shit. Oh, well.
Oh, what's her name? From Last of Us.
Ellie?
Yes.
Ellie, okay. All right.
I was thinking Ellie, but I wasn't sure that was correct.
Okay. All right. Why does Solid Snake?
The man's depressed as fuck. He is an old-ass man who ages constantly. He is fucking depressed. He's burned all his taste buds because, one, constant war. Two, the amount of cigarettes. He doesn't have any anymore. He doesn't have any standards. He'll go to Burger King and spend an obscene amount of money on mediocre food.
His only reason for going to...
it's also the only thing open at, like, 2 o'clock a.m.
That's... Yeah.
And he's constantly got coffee in his veins. He's constantly smoking. He can't sleep because of the incessant amount of war crimes.
The PTSD.
I'm saying this and it describes Naked Snake, but...
Yeah.
But... You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. I could see it. I can even see in that he maybe unironically liked it as a kid.
Also, Liquid Snake doesn't like it, so he's like, fuck you. Just to spite you, you piece of shit.
That's really funny.
All right. Why does Ellie from The Last of Us eat a Burger King?
So I imagine in a situation... In a Last of Us type situation, I think that, like, the last remaining beacons of civilization are going to be the fast food restaurants. I think that all the food in the Burger King locations are so well preserved that it's like the last remaining they're the last places you can get any kind of food. So I think that's the reason why Ellie would go to Burger King. And the reason why I think anyone would go to Burger King, because it's their last resort.
I like the idea that in this post-apocalypse where zombies have taken over and the world is in ruin, fast food chains are still in. Like, you can still go in the drive-thru and it's like, welcome to post-apocalyptic Burger King. How can I help you?
Well, I'm not saying...
Our meat is the only one that has survived.
I'm not saying, like, there are people still working there, but there is still... the food is still there.
So she's hiding out in a Burger King.
Yes.
She makes her choice to go to a Burger King to hide out.
Yes.
Because it's the closest thing.
And also, no one else would want to go there, so of course she's going to be able to hide.
I kind of like the idea of post-apocalyptic Burger King. I was leaning Solid Snake, but then that last little bit actually swayed me. Mason's on a hot streak and has taken the lead.
Yes.
All right. This
Real
one
come from behind victory. I mean, wait. I shouldn't have said it like that. Anyways.
Number 6. Which character dreams of becoming Batman?
Character dreams of becoming Batman.
Thomas?
Miles Morales, Spider-Man.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And you can't go to the Arkham games here, man.
I know.
Yeah, what character dreams of becoming Batman? Batman.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Where is that one? From A Way Out, one of the prisoner guides.
Leo,
yeah.
Okay.
Leo.
All right. Defend yourself. Leo from A Way Out.
Leo from A Way Out. I think it would be Leo because, before he ended up in prison, I imagine there was a kid in his life that he could never, connect with, but the kid really loved Batman. So Leo's like, if I were Batman, my kid would love me.
All right, a way to connect to a kid.
I remember nothing about A Way Out, so...
I don't remember anything about A Way Out either. I was scrambling.
Okay.
But that's what I'm going with.
As Thomas continues to use every character named Miles that he can...
It's an unintentional theme.
Miles Morales. Spider-Man.
Look, I'll be honest, I picked it for comedic effect because I like to imagine Miles Morales is a huge comic book fan and likes every superhero. but Spider-Man is one he's just middling on. So that's the one he got powers of, and he's like, oh, okay, I would have been cooler if I had gotten, like, you know, Wonder Woman's powers, or, you know, would have been cool if I got Martian Manhunter. He's like a DC shield, despite being in the Marvel Universe.
That is really funny, actually.
So he's like, he can list off all the DC characters, and, like, Captain America shows up and throws up, I want you to be a part of the Avengers. What?
What? Are those, like, the knockoff Justice League?
And Iron Man's in the back, fuck off, all right? We came first. No, we didn't.
I like Miles Morales.
I like that one.
I like Miles Morales. I like this idea. All right, we're back to Tide.
Darn.
All right.
Fumbled on that one.
Yeah, a little bit. You know. But you haven't fumbled the game away yet. You're still in it.
I'm still in it.
Question 7. Which character hates the genre of the game they are in?
Ooh. This is getting very meta. Hates the genre of the game.
So almost Wreck-It Ralph style, hates being the villain. hates the genre.
Okay.
I have an answer, but I can't think of his name.
What's the game?
Final Fantasy IX.
Main character?
Yeah.
Zidane. Okay.
Okay.
Or Zidane. I don't know how it's pronounced. It.
Kratos.
Interesting. All right. Thomas, Zidane, Final Fantasy IX. Why does he hate being in this turn-based RPG?
This man's like an Aladdin ripoff. He's very much, he's that high energy, super acrobatic. Oh, he's all about, you know, action. He's all about taking action. He's a thief. He's this swashbuckling rogue. You think he has time or patience to sit down for a turn-based RPG? Bullshit. Especially one as long as a Final Fantasy game. He's gonna get like 3 hours in, and he's gonna be like, this is the most boring piece of shit I've ever played. Why the fuck do people like this?
What genre does he want to be in?
I got a War clone or something. Like, just something that's a higher, faster pace. And then, ironically, Princess Garnet is love is like, oh, I love turn-based RPGs.
All right. You're appealing to me with Final Fantasy. I see what
you're appealing to the host, and I'm not about it.
All right. Kratos, why does one of the most violent characters in video game not want to be in his action game?
So it's interesting that when you posed the question that you went with the Wreck-It Ralph angle, because I was thinking sort of the same way. You know how like One Punch Man is like really bored with being really strong? I kind of think that's how Kratos feels at this point. He just mindlessly murders all these people all the time, and he feels nothing when he does it. He is incredibly bored at being Kratos.
That's why he became a father.
Yeah, yes. But even with that, he's supremely bored. And he, like, that's part of, like, the way that a lot of people felt going to the Kratos remakes, where it's like, these are incredibly boring compared to the originals. He feels the same way. He just feels nothing when he does what he does. And I think, you know, you brought it up, he's a dad, he's older. I think he prefers a nice, quiet puzzle game. I think he in his off time, I think he plays a lot of Tetris or a lot of Puyo Puyo. I think that's what he prefers to do.
I thought you might go dad rock and make him in a rock band game. Kratos wants to.
He just plays a lot of video poker.
Yes, that's what a lot of video poker. A lot of he still has his original Microsoft computer to play solitaire on. Yeah.
He can update to a phone. Atreus keeps telling him to update to a phone, but he refuses.
No, because this one works perfectly fine for solitaire. The only thing you would ever need a computer for.
You got me at the end. You tipped it over on the end with the puzzle game.
It pissed me off because that's not at all Kratos' character.
Not at all. But you were able to convince me that this alternate version of Kratos is a puzzle gamer.
I'm just imagining him with like those little like half reading glasses like down to the edge of his nose with a Game Boy.
Again.
That's fucking stupid. That's the only one I'm calling bullshit on. Oh well. And I can change the characters. I'll do whatever the fuck I want.
No, Thomas has thrown a rebuttal at it.
I don't give a shit.
I like the idea, though, of... of a bored Kratos. Like, again, if they were to make a game of, I'm bored of all of this. I'm tired of all of this. Yeah. It'd be much better if I could puzzle game my way through gods. I'm going to give it to Mason on this one. Just because I laughed. And I'm the judge. Fuck you.
Kill yourself.
All right.
I'm not actually that salty.
Question 8.
We're getting close to the end now.
Which character would refuse to upgrade to a smartphone? I'm fine with my Nokia Razor. It has always never let me down. Why would I need to go to a smartphone?
This is the fastest one that I've ever had an answer for. I've got mine already.
All right.
Knuckles.
Knuckles, okay. Knuckles the Echidna.
Nathan Drake.
Nathan Drake. Ooh, Nathan Drake. Okay. All right.
We've swapped answers now. Because now I picked a Sonic character and you picked an Uncharted character.
Yeah.
All right. Knuckles. Why is Knuckles refusing to upgrade his wonderful flip phone to a modern smartphone?
See, I believe that Knuckles, not only does he not want to upgrade because, you know, why bother? He's just not into it. But I think it's also out of necessity because I feel like he's tried a smartphone before and it instantly broke in his hands. And he cannot. Yeah, well, he just tries
like,
to use
it's
it.
Like, it's like the thing from Marvel. Oh,
yes, no, he keeps putting his hand through the phone.
So he's Nokia bricking it.
Yes, out of necessity, that's the type of phone he needs because every other phone he tries to use breaks in his hand.
Hey, Knuckles, why don't you update to a smartphone? I've spent $1,700, Sonic.
Do you know how many emeralds I have to dig up to get that?
I spent $17,000 on two phones.
That's so many emeralds. So many emeralds.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's my argument for Knuckles.
A necessity. I like it. All right. Nathan Drake.
For one thing, this guy, it's in the modern age and still uses maps. You're telling me that he uses smartphones? Ain't no way in hell he uses smartphones. Two, I think the same thing. I think smartphones are not durable enough for him. You see all the damage he has to take. He takes car wrecks, he falls down cliffs, he slams into the side of buildings all the time.
The man does not have a bone in his body that has not been broken.
You think smartphones are durable enough for him? He gets through an action sequence, goes to pull out his phone to call Elise, and it just crumbles into dust. And he's like, oh, damn it.
Gotta go to the payphone.
Yeah.
I do actually like
these. These are both really very similar answers. Both really good. I think I'm leaning Nathan Drake on this because I really like the idea of him, like, he's got all the, like, the tech that he needs to get there and all, like, the people, like, behind him that have, like, you know, Nathan, you need to go do this. Go do this. Okay. All right. That's your phone?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, like like everyone else has these smartphones. Even Sully has a smartphone. He pulls out this 1997 brick ass thing, and it's like,
the ones that like have like the pouch you unzip and like
yeah, and they're all like, what the fuck is that?
I'm gonna give it. I just like Nathan Drake. I was leaning Knuckles, but like honestly, because it would make 100% sense that Knuckles is breaking all the phones. But Nathan Drake taking old phones on adventures, I like it.
That is fair. I liked yours more too, for the record. So, you
know, all right. We are tied at 4. 2 questions to go. Will we need the tiebreaker? We'll find out.
Mm-hmm. What you don't know is Sean is purposely like, I want to ask the tiebreaker.
Question
next,
9.
Next.
Question 9. What character has a tattoo that they are embarrassed of and will never show a soul?
Tattoo that they're embarrassed of and will never show a soul.
Thomas?
Mario.
Ooh!
Says Mario. I'm going to go with Doc from Punch-Out.
Doc from Punch-Out. All right. Mario. Why does Mario have a tattoo that he's embarrassed of?
Because he canonically does.
He does? Really?
Remember the old ad with the Game Boy and the tribal tattoo?
Yeah.
Oh,
and Mario
does.
Got that tribal
it's
tattoo.
It's a tribal tattoo.
You know for a fact he got that shit in college when he was smashed jack face drunk. And he immediately like woke up the next morning. He's like, oh no. Like this doesn't, I don't think this is cultural appropriation, but it feels like it. But he's a plumber. You know, the dude's a plumber. Sure, he gets gold coins all the time, but he donates it to the castle. He donates it to museums. He's a good guy. But that means he's broke as shit and can't afford laser removal surgery.
No wonder
so he's always wearing sleeves.
No wonder he's always playing different sports all the time.
He's just always wearing sleeves. You know, he and Princess Peach were, you know, not to be rash, but they were getting frisky one night, and she feels that, and she's like, what's that? And he's like, nothing.
Don't look at it.
The shirt stays on, Peach.
It's nothing, sweet. It's nothing. No. So look away.
The shirt stays on. All right. Fine.
Doc from Punch-Out.
So the way that I imagine, like, Doc's life before training Little Mac turned out is that he was, like, one of the first boxing superstars, and you know what happens when you become a superstar in boxing, your head gets a little big, and you know, other boxers buy tigers. Doc gets a tramp stamp. That's what happens. He gets too full of himself and decides this will be a good idea. And
champ.
Then, yes, exactly. It's not a tramp stamp. It's above the root. Like it's a root tat, like right above, like kind of like above, in between his stomach and his crotch area. That's where it is. And he thinks like, oh, this is gonna be so cool, and everybody hates it. And
not great for someone who boxes, and a lot of times boxers don't have shirts on.
Exactly. Yes, and everyone hates it, and that partially, possibly, could have led to his downfall. That it's like, oh, you're weird now. You gained all this fame, and now you're weird. We don't like you anymore. And then he became nothing, and then he met Mac.
I'm going with Mario. Mario with the tribal tat is.
I had a feeling that that's where I was going to go, but I was like, I can try. I'm not going to give this up. But
all right.
I had a feeling.
Question 10, and potentially for the game. Which character always lies about their age?
All right, I got mine.
All right, what you got?
Dipping back into the Sonic well, I'm going with Rouge.
Rouge, all right. Rouge the Bat.
Shit. Samus Aran.
Samus, okay. So we're going all ladies this time. The ladies are lying about their age.
What does that say about us? I don't want to think about it.
All right, why does Rouge the Bat always lie about her age?
Think about what Rouge is. She's like she's a treasure hunter. She's, you know, constantly in these situations where she's going to these exotic places and she's meeting with other people. She's getting all this treasure. Do you really think that if they knew how old she was that anyone would want to trade treasure with her? Like they would be like, you're way too old to be doing this. I'm imagining Rouge is older but says she's younger. And I think she thinks that if people knew her age, they wouldn't take her seriously.
Yes, the week old age of 22. No one would get her then.
All right. Samus, why is Samus Aran lying about her age?
Because Samus lies about everything, is my headcanon. Samus lies about basically everything, but not for the reasons you think. She does it to be more intimidating. Mm-hmm. Like, most women lie to seem younger because, you know, that's what they do. They lie about their age to be younger. A lady's age is never, you know, you never ask a woman her age. Mm-hmm. Samus is like, I am 500 years old and I have killed 18 alien species. One of those is a lie. Tell me which one, motherfucker.
Yeah, because, really like you know, someone who her entire outfit is built on intimidation. Even Zero Suit Samus is built on intimidation.
Yeah.
When your heels can kill you.
Yeah. Sorry, Mason.
Yeah,
you were not able to pull this to a tie.
I saw that one coming.
Thomas, with Samus Aran, wins this game 6-4.
I saw that one coming with that last one. I was like, man, I knew it because I thought in my head I was like, oh, I can defend this really well. And then as soon as I said it, I was like, I got nothing.
So for fun, I'm just going to read the tiebreaker question.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
just
sure.
There. The tiebreaker question was, which character thinks Pokemon is the peak of video games?
Oh. So which one is you, basically?
Pokemon's not the peak of video games.
It's Final Fantasy is the peak of video games.
Exactly. Get it right.
No, Kingdom Hearts is the peak of video games.
Exactly. That was my tiebreaker question to make through, but maybe that'll have to be another one.
That will have to be another
one. Yeah. This was
Pikachu, because he's an egotistical little prick.
In his own game, he's like, it's never gotten better. But you're in Smash Bros.
Never gotten better.
Pikachu would probably say that, hey you, Pikachu, the game where you talked into the 64 microphone is the greatest peak video game of all time, because people talked to him.
That is true.
He's a lonely sack of shit.
He is very lonely. He's like, well, talk to me while we watch TV.
That was a thing in that game.
That was. Then there was the Pokemon Channel game that came out on the GameCube that was just literally, hey.
Just TV.
Just watch some TV. What? Yeah. Want to watch some TV with Pokemon? No.
Because I know I know it's probably just Pokemon videos, like, you know, episodes of the anime or whatever. Could you imagine you're just flipping through channels, Pikachu by your side, and it's like, oh, hey, Pikachu, let me introduce you to my favorite show. Let's watch MacGyver.
It's literally pulling the meme that is the Batman, this is where my parents die. It's like, hey, Pikachu, want to watch Breaking Bad?
I want to watch Braveheart.
Anyways,
yeah,
this was really fun.
It was a dumb little one-off that I thought up one night and was like, this would be really funny to do. These guys were willing to let me try and do this. And once again, we have proved that Thomas is the most knowledgeable of us and therefore deserves all the glory.
Yep.
I thought you were going to say deserves all the scorn. If anything is wrong on this podcast, blame Thomas because he has all the knowledge.
There you go. Yeah, that's what we'll do. Yeah.
But thank you all for listening. And if you have any answers here you'd like to share with us, send us an email. bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. That's bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. We're still on our little hiatus here between season 3 and season 4. And there'll be a little bit of stuff coming out. And
give us your answers and... which one was funniest?
That's true.
Yeah, there you go. Which was the funniest answer?
Yeah, let us know. We might have something. Honestly, you know, if you let us know, maybe we'll record something a little fun to put on our Patreon to let people know what was said and responded to, because we have a Patreon, patreon.com/whatthebleep. And we'll be back with, you know, some more fun things, some goodness, and season 4 is just around the corner. Burn it.